The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, The Freedom of Evolving, The Beauty of Becoming. With a memoir, a mentorship program, and a fresh outlook, Jordan Childs is redefining strength through softness, sisterhood, and self-belief. When Jordan Childs answers our Zoom call, she's glowing. She has just moved into her first home, juggling boxes and press tours with the same bright spirit that carried her from the Olympic podium to the cover of Sports Illustrated. I finally found my safe space, my circle, she says, exhaling into the moment. I've been really enjoying life. That's really all I can say, just enjoying life. Enjoying the ability to wake up every morning and just, you know, thank God for waking up another day and continuing to push for dreams and goals that I have. It's a glimpse into where she is today, settled, softer, and more grounded than the spunky gymnast the world saw at the Tokyo and Paris Olympics, November 24th, with a New York Times best-selling memoir, I'm That Girl, Living the Power of My Dreams, and a UCLA return under her belt. Childs is writing the next chapter, one that extends far beyond medals. When asked what joy looks like for her right now, Childs doesn't hesitate. Peace. Waking up and not feeling like I have to carry so much weight on my shoulders, allowing myself to breathe. It's a striking reflection from someone who has carried the expectations of a nation. She was just 20 when she stepped into the Tokyo Olympics, helping to secure silver for Team USA, alongside her close friend, Simone Biles. Paris 2024 was supposed to be her coronation, team gold with Biles and Sunisa Lee, plus a historic all-black podium on floor exercise. Instead, she was stripped of her bronze medal after a late score inquiry, a ruling that still feels cruel for an athlete who had delivered the performance of her life. But Childs refuses to let any score define her. She's pursuing legal avenues to reclaim the Olympic bronze medal, and she's living out the very persistence that mirrors her message. If Tokyo was about stepping up and Paris was about resilience, today is about healing. I am learning I don't always have to be in survival mode, she explains. The gymnast who once electrified arenas with her firecracker energy is embracing something new. She calls it her soft girl era. I was always seen as this ball of energy, she says, a smile breaking across her face. But now I'm all simplicity, calmness, and softness. I'll be 25 next year, and that doesn't mean I'm any less me. It just means I'm growing. That evolution is at the heart of where Childs stands today, still an Olympic medalist, still a dazzling floor performer, a culture shifter, and a devoted sneakerhead, but also a young woman writing her own definitions of strength, sisterhood, and success. She's learning to slow down and appreciate the life she is building off the mat. I didn't get to do a lot of stuff when I was younger, she says. So establishing this now as I'm older, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Part of that healing has come from the bonds of sisterhood she has built, both inside and outside the gym. Her bond with Simone Biles has been well documented, but Chiles lights up when talking about other unexpected connections that also keep her grounded. Normani, oh my gosh, she says with a laugh, recalling a recent conversation with the singer. She literally looked at me and said, "Girl, I know exactly how you feel." And it was like, wow, somebody outside of gymnastics sees me. That was so special. It's those moments that remind her she's not alone in navigating the pressures of being young, black, and brilliant on a public stage. Community is everything, she says. It's what keeps me whole. And the moment when she realized that she'd be okay after the Paris heartbreak, I probably would say when I got to do my Sports Illustrated 60th anniversary swimsuit issue, celebrating my body and my confidence on my terms, she reflects. That was one time I was finally just like, wow, people are still supporting me. That experience, she says, taught her how to release what she couldn't control. Her book helped too. Writing her memoir meant reliving childhood trauma and emotional scars left by a coach early in her life. For the first time, she opened up about the darker chapters of her life. For Chiles, strength now means honesty. There were days I just sat there crying, she admits. It was hard, but it was freeing too, because you can't heal what you keep hiding. Her honesty has struck a chord with readers, and especially with young black women who see themselves in her willingness to speak the truth out loud. Today, Chiles is back competing for UCLA, but her vision stretches further beyond the gym. I'm really venturing out into different worlds, she says. She quotes Megan Thee Stallion with a grin. This year I did my big one. Next year I'm going bigger. Perhaps her proudest venture yet has nothing to do with medals. Chiles has built Shiro, a mentorship collective for young athletes, activists, and dreamers who are navigating sports and self-discovery. Shiro is my heart, she says. I don't want others to go through the same struggles and pain as I did without a support. Let's strive for greater together. I want girls to know they don't have to choose between being strong and being soft. You can be both. This season isn't about medals or milestones for Childs. It's about moving at her own pace, savoring her becoming, and holding her loved ones close. It's about chasing the power of her dreams while protecting her voice and identity, even in spaces where others might question her belonging. During our conversation, she couldn't stress enough that wearing a crown is not about standing on podiums, but about knowing you are that girl, no matter where life places you. After years of chasing perfection, Chiles is embracing a different rhythm, one rooted in gentleness, trust in herself, and the reminder she carries with her every day. You are enough just as you are. Don't ever let the world make you believe otherwise. In those words, you can hear both the survivor and the dreamer, the athlete and the woman, the girl who grew up under the bright lights, and the one learning to light her own way. Jordan Childs is still flipping, still fighting, still rising, still shining, but on her own terms now. And that just might be her greatest routine yet. The next article is titled, I.B. Kamara Belongs Everywhere He Goes, a conversation on identity, community, and the radical beauty of Blackness across continents, collections, and generations, grounded in a presence that never needed permission. They are not just clothes. I.B. Kamara is designing a visual, ancestral, and spiritual language in an industry that too often reduces culture to trend and spectacle. Kamara insists on truth, an unapologetic embodiment of Blackness and Africanness, and a visionary conviction that doesn't require anyone's validation. As the creator of Off-White, the legacy brand founded by the late legendary designer Virgil Abloh, and as a newly minted doctor of the arts from University of the Arts London, Kamara operates at the intersection of imagination and identity, where fashion becomes a form of memory, resistance, and cultural authorship. In this conversation with creative, consultant, and high fashion connoisseur Amanda Murray, the Sierra Leone-born London-rooted designer opens up about purpose, the irreplicable power of soul, and how community, from his aunts and uncles to the friends he once shared rent with, continues to shape his visions. Listen in. Amanda Murray asks the question, I.B., you have said that styling is a form of authorship for you. What story are you telling now at this moment in your life and in your spirit? I.B. Kamara responds, I'm in a space where I'm truly comfortable in my skin and happy with my Africanness, my Blackness, and my stories. In my 30s, I've learned so much about where I'm from, what my purpose is, and what I need to say. I want to share that consciousness with like-minded people who see the world through a beautiful African, Black, global, progressive, and inclusive lens. I'm still figuring out what else I can contribute and say. There's still a big gap in this industry when it comes to people who look like me. I want to align with those who speak that language and hopefully inspire others, whether they look like me or not, to help fill that gap. Murray asks, what does it feel like right now in your studio? What are you listening to? Kamara responds, well, the only stationary studio in my house right now is a music studio. I've been recording music for the past 6 months, but I work in Milan at the Off-White Atelier when I'm not working from home. My studio is everywhere. It could be in my hotel room. It could be on the go. It could be on a plane, in my living room, my garden, but the only concrete studio that I actually have is for music. Murray asked, oh wow, are there any specific images on the walls? What is that environment allowing you to access? Kamara responds, yes, there are paintings. I did a collection in New York. Actually, my last collection, I collaborated with a painter called Nana, and I brought all of his paintings, so they are in my universe. And a photo I did with Ruth Osanai in Lagos, it hangs in the studio. Also flowers. I love jasmine and orchids. Murray asks the next question. You were recently honored with Doctor of the Arts, which isn't just a personal milestone. It feels communal because you know we all love you and we feel like you belong to us in the best way. What did that moment feel like for you beyond the ceremony? Kamara responds, "It's bigger than me. It feels like a collective of people from London, Africa, the Americas, and beyond who poured into me and built something real that holds its ground. I am not big on awards, but seeing my mom, my dad, my friends, and even people I used to go clubbing with there made me proud, especially knowing many of us came from nothing and found each other through being different or finding our voice." Murray asks another question. "I remember seeing your styling work with Beyoncé for the On the Run 2 tour. Even though it was just a few scenes, I could tell it came from a different lens than her usual team. Those specific looks stayed with me. Your work has a signature, and it has always been about more than styling. It's centered on the storytelling of Africa. And now, seeing you have these amazing moments working with Chanel and with Beyoncé, designing costumes for her tours, it feels full circle. How do you protect the integrity of your lens now that you're so sought after and all of these institutions are inviting you in?" Kamara responds, "Thank you. One of the most important things I learned early in life is that you can't replicate a soul or an experience. I've worked for very talented people, but I never wanted to be like them. Their talent created a safe space for me to enrich myself without restraint. Being born in Freetown, Big Water, Sierra Leone, one of the poorest places in the world, then becoming a refugee in the Gambia after the war, I saw a lot in the first 10 years of my life. I know what it's like to go without food and to wake up at night scared of bullets. These experiences shaped my spirit in ways the Western world may not fully digest, but that is why I'm here. And no matter where I go, I carry that with me. It's my soul. It is irreplicable. It's IB." Murray asked, "Who do you feel you are creating for? And what legacy or spirit do you feel you are carrying forward in your work?" Kamara responds, "It's my parents, my aunties and uncles, generations before me. Truly, there's a spirit in my work. Sierra Leone is a very stylish, expressive, and non-judgmental place, and I was born into that. We have barely scratched the surface of our talent in the diaspora because of discrimination and racism, but I take that on non-negotiably. African, walking in the beauty, aroma, and light of my culture." Murray asks the next question. "That's really beautiful. I haven't seen that kind of cultural nuance on the luxury stage since the days of Yves Saint Laurent and John Galliano at Dior. But where their gaze was external, yours is ancestral. It doesn't borrow, it remembers. And I wonder how you honor those narratives without reducing them in an industry that so often aestheticizes what it doesn't understand." Kamara responds, "It would be a shame not to reference the nearest thing to me, because to ignore who you are can suggest self-hate or that you're not good enough. And that's never been my experience. For me, it's one of the biggest gifts because I don't have a minority complex. I always walk into space knowing I'm from a majority. Murray asks the question, you and Misha Notcut, who I call Queen Misha, have created a beautiful community in London rooted in care, intention, and real belief in Black creatives. I often think about how you both nurtured Maximilian Davis early on, before the industry even knew what it was looking at. That kind of generosity and foresight feels incredibly rare. What does community mean to you at this point? Kamara responds, it means uplifting a community that is not given the same representation we all realized early on, whether we were in university or just starting out in London, that we only had each other. We shared rent, we shared meals, and we modeled, photographed, and styled for free. No one came to save us, but we had a dream and believed in each other, and that belief helped us grow. I think a community that believes in itself expands. If you don't believe in what your friends are doing, you have no right being in that space. That's the kind of environment Ms. Shaw created, a safe space for a Black kid who was a little bit quirky, a little bit other. And I was lucky to be in London then, surrounded by people like Mowa Ola, Kenneth Maximilian Davis, Dalara, Phoebun, Labram, and Saul Nash. These are the people in my universe. It's good to see an infiltration of Black experiences and concepts being seen as luxury and avant-garde from kids with big dreams who came from poor backgrounds in England. Murray asks the question, I wish that sort of community existed here in New York. I look at you guys and I often think, this is incredible. But I have also wondered, at this stage in your career, what feels heavier, the responsibility or the freedom? Kamara responded, nothing feels heavier to me, if I'm honest. I found my language at Off-White, and I have to be my true, authentic self to make clothes that connect with people. Realizing that was one of the biggest gifts of my life. I am excited about what's next that could push my brain. When I'm on set, I am happy to be there, and when I'm not, I don't want to be there. Murray asks the question, do you have an overreaching story that you want to tell with Off-White each season? Or is it sort of balancing or honoring established codes or just evolving the brand through your own lived experience? Kamara responded, both honoring the code and balancing. I think the most brilliant thing that happened in design in the past 20 years was the founding of Off-White by Virgil Abloh, an African-American man, the first brand to have a global impact by a Black man, remixing African and American streetwear with both Italian craftsmanship and British sensibility. And as an African, I am referencing things from the motherland. I feel like if our history hadn't been interrupted 400 years ago, what we are doing now wouldn't be seen as new. Murray asks the question, who are some of your favorite designers and brands right now? Kamara responded, Off-White, of course. I love Martine. Martine Rose is amazing. I love Haider at Tom Ford. Low is cool. I wear Low, Febin, Connor, Ives, and I like Ernest W. Baker for sure. I used to wear a lot of Kenneth Izzy iconic stuff. Murray asks the question, where do you shop? Are you a Dover Street Market guy? Are you online? Kamara responded, I don't like shopping. I love just stumbling into incredible things. I shop by instinct and let the spirit lead me, whether it's vintage, secondhand, or designer, as long as I feel fab in it. Murray asked another question. I love that. The spontaneity of it all. When Virgil brought you into Louis Vuitton, I say this as a black creative in New York. We exhaled. We were like, thank you, God. Just knowing you were the perfect collaborator, someone that could meet the scale of his vision as the world continues to reference and be inspired by his legacy. What parts of him do you hope we never forget? Kamara responded, Virgil was way ahead of his time in terms of innovation and entrepreneurship, and we should always remember he was one of the first and freest black creatives of his generation. He dared to dream, and now a lot of kids around the world believe there's space for them to create something, whether the industry is interested or not. That audacity is what we didn't have before. He walked so some of us could run. Murray asked another question. Who do you lean on most in this industry? Kamara responded, I've had the same friends since I was 18, so they are the ones I call. They are not even in fashion. I like it like that. If I have to come to you with my problems, you are like family. Murray asked another question. Speaking of family, there's this thing, as you know, in African and Caribbean cultures where creative careers are shunned. Everyone wants you to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avery Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.